This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. It is Thursday, September 17th, and it's time for your Thursday conversation. We've all now been informed that the Fed apparently is not being dovish enough, which is just mind-blowing when you think about it. And because they're not being dovish enough, we're having a kind of a challenging day in the precious metals. But that all notwithstanding, it's still a great day to talk to our old pal, Andrew McGuire. And Andy's got some interesting nuggets of information to share with us, no pun intended. Andy, of course, legendary metals trader. And he joins us today. Andy, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Craig, it's always great to speak to you and to be with you. And of course, your great community. So, but I mean, let's, where do you start? I mean, I think we start with the elephant in the room. As you just said, this crazy, crazy action, which, to be honest, I think has been orchestrated well ahead of time, ahead of FOMC, which, as you say, it's counterintuitive. This is as bullish as it should get.
Yeah.
And it's just that, you know, obviously, with a little bit of window dressing and a little bit of messing around with the crosses, and you can play games. But, I mean, people will wake up, the reality will sink in, and obviously, we'll realize, my God, you know, this is a really bullish situation for both gold and silver. But, I mean, but look, we started off, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe. Suddenly, there was a plethora of bearish technical calls. I mean, and they were, you know, innocently relayed by some very good sites. And I mean, really, basically, this was being made during the current gold and silver consolidation period. So really, people spinning it. Oh no, it's all over now. But really, given the veracity of these calls, I don't think for any moment that they were random, and it can create uncertainty, and therefore, really, to some degree, to be self-fulfilling. And with that in mind, I'm going to focus on providing the exact levels where the very largest, all-important wholesale support levels are aggregated, and really, where there's too much competing physical-related interest for these levels to be breached and held. Now, obviously, we've seen some crazy projections for the downside, and these are paper projections. But look, I'm talking about the bid levels that are so competitively structured, they will overcome paper market technical objectives that are completely blinkered to the real world supply demand fundamentals. And I think that if I can provide that little bit of color, obviously you yourself and you know, many of your people on your site are very, very cognizant with the market.
Well, please do, because everybody here knows the frustration that I've felt for about the last month. And I at first blamed it on just a summer doldrums and everybody being on holiday. And so therefore, we had nothing but algos, you know, that are, at least during COMEX hours for sure, running just tick for tick with the dollar index, as if none of that physical stuff, all the stuff that drove us from March, the unlimited QE and the physical shortages and the massive deliveries off COMEX and all of that stuff, suddenly none of it mattered. And all that mattered on a daily basis was whether the dollar upticked or downticked. So I'm waiting for physical, you know, fundamentals to impact things again. So lay that on us. What, where do you see, where are those floors?
Yeah, and we do have a nice little nugget in a minute. I think people are screaming, okay, what are those levels? You know, get on to those levels. But I mean, you just mentioned physical supply shortages. I'm putting add a bit of color to that, especially with silver.
Okay,
and it's probably blow a lot of people's minds actually, and it blew mine when I heard it. But anyway, look, basically what we're saying is, look, none of these bearish technicals calls have any view outside the non-delivery COMEX casino. And so really, it's been a surgical chart painting exercise, and it's specifically designed to herd as many paper traders into the sell trap as maybe possible, while these same actors go along with the underlying physical product. And I think this is what we're seeing. Now, obviously, today, after a day like today's ludicrously counterintuitive action, I mean, you've just described why. Following what was probably the most bullish FOMC setup for gold and silver currencies, I mean, and we're talking about the currencies here, because we're talking about the silver to dollars cross, and we're talking about the gold to dollar cross, of course, in the FX markets. So really, what we're doing is we want to add in where these wholesale physical related support levels are, because they can assist us in discerning a much more balanced picture when we see all these crazy projections being made. So, you know, up until now, we've seen, goodness me, I mean, into this FOMC and SI gaming, GC and SI gaming, really, it's been in a flat cap range, which you've just talked about. There's various aspects for that, algos in play. But I mean, really, since mid-August, we've kind of, if you remove the chart chatter, it kind of being capped within that range now.
Right.
But onto the levels. Now, in silver, and this is helpful. I believe this is going to be helpful. Massive technical and fundamental related physical support levels lay at spot related 26,240 silver level. Now, I don't know if that jives with any of your charts, but this was hard tested following non-farm payrolls, which when netted out from what open interest is still COMEX rinseable, whatever's left that is COMEX rinseable, is sufficient in size. These bids are sufficient in size to offset the grossly counterintuitive gaming we're experiencing to such bullish supply demand fundamentals. Now, SI has not closed below that level for 7 weeks now.
Right.
And we see this as counterproductive for the usual suspects to get the price closed below that level. We know those bids are there. Now, similarly, you want to say, what about gold? Well, actually, gold's a little more simple. In the GC, the 1923 level is where we see the competing central bank and sovereign size bid interest in gold, which, again, would be counterproductive to keep prices below. And really, this is the level, of course, where the previous 2011 highs were.
Right.
And really, so it's a pretty straightforward level. But I know that this is where the massive central bank support levels are. And I think, again, I believe any more visits would be a surprise now. I don't think put it this way, we haven't seen a close below that level since late July. And that's despite all the gaming. And of course, we're going to see the gaming. What's the gaming all around at the moment? It's really all about the 10-day moving averages, getting the neutral algos wrong-footed into a sell the rally mode, when in fact, when it's above the 10, they into the buy the dip mode. And of course, you can key off that kind of bullshit. And we know that game so well. But essentially, what we're saying is we see these dips eminently viable. And so if anyone's got dry powder, and I'm not suggesting go out and start borrowing money and go out and buy these things. I don't even think we'll visit them again. I think today we probably made a slightly higher low.
Looks like
In a spike in silver. Really just a bit of gaming between where they dare not put it and what you can kind of still rinse out. Around the tens, basically. But, you know, I mean, all the major influences have interpreted the FOMC maths do not add up.
Right. I mean it's ridiculous. For what it's worth, I mean, those levels we watch here, because 26 was the floor for 19 months from 2011 until April of 2013. And it was from there that we gapped down. So getting back above it, and you mentioned the importance of testing that as support. It's been 5 or 6 weeks in a row now. We've closed above it on a weekly basis. So that's pretty good. And then 1920, obviously, is the old highs from September of 2011. Andy, though, you know, your job, your profession, what you do for a living is in physical wholesale precious metal. You know that, I mean, the banks have to be reticent to take price below there because they don't have the metal laying around. What can you share with us about your experiences lately of trying to get your hands on metal, particularly silver?
Right. Well, I think that is, basically, so we've established where the levels are, and I think hopefully that we'll just put that in the rearview mirror then, and I think that's going to work for everyone. But I think really what we're looking at here is the difficulty in getting a hold of silver is really, and gold, is really the subject here. And I think, you know, we can perhaps look at GLD and SLV later, because I get so many questions on, you know, yeah, is the metal going in there? Because we see so much of the metal going in there, but is it there? I mean, we can deal with that separately, but in fact, maybe that it is a good time to come to think of it. Is that all right? Let's have a look at that first, if that's all right, Craig.
Yeah, sure.
Because I was in, I want to explain how logistically, a month apart from anything else, how logistically it's impossible that this, we've always looked at the reasons that we don't trust these levels, simply because as a wholesaler, where the hell have, I can't buy it. And yet,
right.
And I'm waiting till what, January, February, and March, T plus 90, please, T plus 120 for large silver orders. And most refiners actually refusing to refine any silver at this point because they can't keep up with the gold orders. So does it make sense that you can have T plus zero metal coming into the SLV and the GLD on right. a daily basis? I mean, it's ludicrous. That in itself is one thing, but I think from a wholesale market perspective, and from to add a little color from a vaulting person's perspective, to show how logistically this is actually impossible. And you know, so really, as far as are they adding the metal, it's kind of a twofold question. In other words, firstly, are the 1,000-ounce bars physically delivered into the SLV vaults when we can't get them? And how much counterparty risk are you exposed to when you buy SLV silver? And we're using silver because it's easier to track than gold. Now, these questions become particularly relevant as we're evidencing these enormous, unusual silver footprints, both in what we have seen reported by the COMEX, but also these elephant-sized SLV dealings involving custodian J.P. Morgan.
Right. Now,
picking up on the DOJ, let's just say, look, the DOJ already determined that about this bank, it was on the 16th of September, they named it as, quote, a criminal enterprise. So firstly, it beggars the question, why is this criminal enterprise allowed to continue to provide market-making services on the same CME exchange under which it is under investigation?
Good
and
question.
And providing market-making services with SLV, but worse, still sanctioned to act as a trustee for any entity, let alone SLV. So, I mean, you might argue, well, at least the bullion held by this ETF is audited. But from our direct experience, it is absolutely clearly not. It's impossible that it's audited. And with this questionable integrity in mind, as a wholesale and a vaulting provider, it certainly raises a major red flag. So,
right. So
to answer the question, are all the recorded bullion inflows physically there? Well, who actually knows why? Because these bars are made deliberately impossible to verify on the SLV bar list. Hop on the website and look at it. I drew attention to this in a July interview, I think it was with Arcadia, where I actually ran through how we tried to follow the trail of 630 of 1,000-ounce standard bars, which we had receipted in Zurich at that time,
right.
and we had been shipped directly from JP Morgan's Loco London stock into our partner's vault. So obviously, this is a criminal enterprise. We, out of interest, would like to try and verify if any of these bars had actually come from, or worse, had still sat on the SLV bar list. And we all know that big HSB story that Ned Naylor Leyland came up that identified, where you remember that, how right. they said,
the bar was in like three different ETFs.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, hang on, we've got a criminal enterprise here. So we better check this. So we'd never tried to do this before that date, and soon became clear that any such undertaking is totally impossible. it is staggering and implausible that this published SLV bar list is not searchable on a PDF or a spreadsheet. So any attempt to marry a bar number is actually impossible. And to attempt to marry up a bar number would entail trawling through what's over 7,800 odd pages of bars.
Jeez.
Now, that's great. That's not exactly confidence boosting. And with so many questions already hanging over the integrity of the ETF inventories, you know, really, there must be a secondary book somewhere which is deliberately not shown. There has to be. So why is it not shown? So we're just scratching the surface here, but we'd not even looked at really the impossible logistics of receiving, weighing, and logging in. And there's days when we, multiple days where we see 200 tons of inflows or outflows, which we regularly see recorded on a single day. Now, to even think that these are T plus zero and they're getting there is mind-blowing in itself. But even if you accept a variable weight trough sampling is underplayed, each bar has to be handled individually. This is an extremely time-consuming process. And right. In order to provide a little context, I was in our vault in Liechtenstein last week, where we received 20 tons of 1,000-ounce standard bars. And it took the entire team a full 12 hours to process 643 bars. Yet, on multiple occasions, we see over 10 times these volumes arriving at the SLV vaults on a single day, which is, 6,430 bars or more. And even if you split this amongst the five vaults split between the UK and the US SLV vaults, I can't see how these bars can be physically received or removed in a day. Yet, we're supposed to accept the bar list is up to date and accurate. So, and Craig, just to put into context, our 7,000 square foot Kinesis vault in Liechtenstein is brand new state-of-the-art facility and has far more space to handle these bars than any other vault I've ever been in. So this pretty much raises the second part of the equation is really how much counterparty risk are you exposed to when you buy SLV silver? Well, I know you know the risks already. So really, what we're saying is it's not the right instrument for most people that we know.
No, you could get a very unpleasant surprise one day where if it's only got half the silver that it really has, then the NAV is only half of what it's stated to be. I mean,
absolutely. And of course, we see there's options that you can short it. I mean, there's a whole number of other things that go on. And again, all of this is smoke and mirrors stuff, but the very fact that you can't even get a bar list, which is day-to-day basis. I mean, as a vaulting provider, if we couldn't provide our bank a bar list at the end of a trading day, you know, it's just unthinkable. I mean, you know, what kind of, you know, counterparty risk are we providing to the bank? This is ludicrous.
Let's get back to, the physical issue though, and everything that you've seen since March, because as you have spoken and I've spoken and written about, you know, the whole thing kind of broke in March after years of abuse, and suddenly there was a crisis of confidence, you know, and after doing these thousands and thousands of metric tons in EFPs, all of a sudden we start just scratching out a couple hundred contracts a day that way. Well, now all of a sudden, just yesterday, there was a big surge in gold EFPs again. I've been writing here last night and again today how that has my concern because I'm worried about the banks getting back to business as usual. I asked you before if you thought that was the same, and you thought, well, no, actually, maybe it's the opposite. Please kind of share a little color with what you think there.
Right. Well, as far as gold is concerned, and silver's a different story here as well, but as far as gold's concerned, this EFP that you're referring to, or these EFPs you're referring to, look, I would answer it by saying, as a wholesaler, if I can't get T plus two or thereabouts physical silver, if I've got to wait for a refiner and I can only get limited and restricted, and all my counterparties that I deal with are also being restricted to supply, And I look over to the COMEX and I see, hey, look at all this physical there. I've got an EFP instrument here. Mm-hmm. So what's it going to cost me? It's going to cost me a plane ride for this. It's going to cost me maybe $2-3. Okay, then I'll take it. Thank you very much. I can't get it anywhere else. I have orders to fill. My clients want the bullion, and I have to fulfill it ASAP.
And Andy, there was a round number. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there was a round number. I mean, it was in October, using October contract. It was precisely 3,000.
And that's exactly the contract that I know a very large bullion bank is actually utilizing to take delivery on. And I'm sure a lot of people have looked at the October contract.
Right. Open interest is 60,000 contracts still, when it last year would have about half that.
Exactly. And why is that? What's the difference between last year and this year? The difference between last year and this year is that basically the physical market was elsewhere. It used to be in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. It used to be in, which it still technically is, but we can't get it. And what's happened is it's now every single bar that is being sucked into the COMEX. Why? Because they're trying to liquefy it again and try and repair, put a Band-Aid over what blew up in March.
In March.
And yeah, exactly. So, but by doing that, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot, because mm-hmm. what you're saying is, I'm a physical market now. Mm-hmm. So where else will I go and get my physical? Thank you very much. I'll pay for it. I'll pay the premium. I'll ship it over. It takes me the length of time it gets into a passenger plane and brought over to me. You know, whatever that amount is, 3-5 tons, whatever it might be. Any larger size, well, can split it up a bit.
Andy, you'd mentioned, I don't know when that was, April, that you'd heard rumblings of kind of a competing facility being built. Is that still, from as far as you can tell, is that still out there?
Absolutely still out okay. there. And it is progressing. Obviously, that has, there's been a lot of components to put together on that.
Yeah.
But this is an LBMA competitor. It is very much allied with the Asian markets, and it's based in London. So I think at this point, I don't want to add too much color to okay. that, other than it's coming, and it will come, and it will actually be a likely a T+1 delivery market, which is certainly a hell of a lot better than what we're experiencing now. And it will be a physical market. The anything that's bought or sold in that market will physically be in that exchange before it can be sold. So that is definitely happening.
Yep. So do you think, Andy, is from what you see, is it still much of what we saw in March continuing? Like I said, I worry about the sudden surge of EFPs, but we'll see if that continues, or maybe it's a good thing. I worry about the open interest growing in COMEX Gold again. But as we speak, I see I've got about a $6 premium from the December contract to spot in gold, and I've got about a 20-cent premium in silver. Is that indicative enough that we still have concerns, tightness?
Yeah, and I think let's look at silver here, because this is I think where, and this is going to be a bit of a shocker for most people, and I've only just become aware of this, and I think this is something which is not been certainly not out there anywhere, and it's going to explain the EFP spread between spot silver and futures. And what I'm saying is, this is 100% JP Morgan centric. And I'll explain why. And basically, you're also going to see that whenever we see the price moving in silver, if you see the price rising, you see those spreads widening. And what I'll also say is that you'll never ever see them drop below, say, 10 cents. And you even saw that, if you remember, mm-hmm. in the September contract, even after it rolled off the board, EFP premiums were big, and in some cases enormous. Now, what's happened is And on the, as we know, on March the 23rd, the Comex broke. And we and many others have drawn attention, and you have, to this scramble to add back liquidity into the Comex. And that's, we've seen scurried deals with the RBMA, who've, you know, who both have lots to lose when the paper market collapses. Now, which is, which it ultimately will do. And we've already seen a break in the ranks with the likes of Goldman Sachs positioning themselves extremely long physical gold and silver for an inevitable gold price revaluation, which really will be affected. There's only one way that can happen, and that's in the FX markets. However, look, silver. Silver is the story here. We are now, obviously, you know, we've seen Ted Butler and many, many people in the past have said, JP Morgan is extremely long silver. But now there's something even more significant. We're 100% certain that JP Morgan has cornered the physical silver market. But what is little known, this has stealthily evolved into a whole new level commencing in March. And this is exactly when it started. Now, these footprints are designed to have become, they disguised as what they are. And they've become visible. And this is through a close trading house contact. Now, What has happened is JP Morgan's, and this is the bottom line, they've now successfully gained full control of all of the largest silver stockpile in history, much larger than the Hunts. And in fact, this is why there is no wholesale size available, because it's all being front run in the US and sucked into the US. We all know that you can see some of that evidence when all the Swiss 1,000-ounce bars are heading into the US. Mm-hmm. And you kind of wonder why, especially when we've got demand more local to that. And it's also clear that this predatory Fed agent bank is largely immune from prosecution due to its federal government agency agreements. Now, there is far more to this story than really I'm limited to disclose yet, but I can reveal that this close contact was given, now this is key here because you have to put your connect the dots to this, were given an unlimited letter of credit to buy every ounce of silver available, including very attractive large premiums paid to at least one producer to sell forward production that I know. That even though this trading house is very well established, it's unheard of to provide an unlimited letter of credit to any business to buy physical silver and forwards at any price. Now, To me, this is why I'm saying connect the dots. No taxpayer-funded bank, no compliance department would allow a bank, even a JP Morgan, to issue an unlimited letter of credit. Now, so really, who can it be? This can only be the Fed. I mean, this is a Fed primary dealer, an agent bank. They act for the Fed all the time. What I'm saying here is this would be an attempt to provide massive physical liquidity back into the COMEX. Now, I intend to expand on this story as soon as I get the green light. Now, everything I've discussed was given to me with the understanding I don't reveal the source. I wouldn't be discussing this had it not been credible. It also explains the EFP spreads being so large in all the silver contracts since March.
And you not being able to get your hands on it very fast either.
Yeah, I mean, look, people are going, oh my God, what's going to happen here? Look, JP Morgan as a company is going to benefit from a silver price rise. They always were, and they will. And this predatory insider will seek to capitalize on this when the least people expect it, while still fulfilling its role as a government agent bank. Now, they certainly are not selling any of this at current prices, which is another clue. And in the meantime, we see silver has built a base that's attracted far too many competitors, but with specs wrong-footed, the rally will commence with the least specs on it as possible. Now, I would really dig in, and this, knowing that this information is 100% correct, and probably this dealer is not the only one that's been offered this unlimited line of credit. I would dig to see if my silver producers had forward hedged anything recently, albeit at very attractive prices, or indeed maybe for a dollar or two above the price. or indeed if the recent volatility was designed to incentivize or force them to hedge. So these raises a lot of questions here, but to me, this is a huge development.
Well, yeah,
I don't see this as bearish. I see this as bullish.
All right, let's wrap up with that point, because I hear you tell me that, and I worry that it's bearish because I've seen JP Morgan accumulate 150 million ounces over the last in just the eligible category over the last 5 years. You know, where they went from having no vault to suddenly having now what, 170 million ounces, whatever it is. And I've always thought I could connect the dots to them getting being allowed to have 30,000 contracts short because they can call it a hedge versus their 150 million ounces. They can just make money hand over fist. And then all of a sudden they lose some silver, the house account has to deliver out some silver, at least it looked like it, back in whatever, July. And then all of a sudden price takes off 50% when that happens. So now, help me understand why, if this is true, if they're putting out, they're contacting dealers and giving them a unlimited line of credit to acquire as much physical silver as much as they can and to get producers to sell forward as much as they can. Help me out, Andy. That my first inclination is that's not a good sign.
No, it would be. It would be if you're looking at it from the old paradigm. But I mean,
right. I am, because I need the new paradigm.
Yeah, but because look, there is a massive silver shortage and demand, and what these guys are not stupid. They're doing exactly what Goldman's doing, which is getting long physical of every side. We all know that with this much dollar depreciation, this much erosion of capital, mm-hmm. that the only go-tos are anything tangible, solid, real. And obviously gold and silver, when you think about it, are deeply, deeply undervalued in whichever way you look at it. So to be long the physical side before any form of reevaluation is exactly what's going on here.
Yeah,
these guys are not stupid. They're going to make so much more money on the upside than they ever could make from now on the downside. And that was one of the reasons I gave these support levels, because the levels that we've just discussed are so large, these orders are so large, I don't think they'll ever get touched. I came close to it today, but they were front run. And I think So it's all a question of, you know, profit. I think what's happened here is that, yes, the COMEX, the COMEX 1974, what was it put into place? What?
Yep.
To control the market.
Yep.
It suddenly lost that power. But it was a paper market. Now they're purporting to be a physical market. And I think suddenly we're all looking to it as a physical market and saying, well, you got it, we'll take it. And that evolves into a price. And, you know, when we see the EFPs, we see these big spreads, the unnarrowed spreads here. The spot market is no longer the market. The spot market is the futures market. So really, it's a catch-22 situation, I think. It's not the old paradigm where, where is the incentive to take silver down? Where is the incentive to take gold down? In these circumstances, you'd be crazy to even attempt to do so.
Yeah. Well, and I thought too, Andy, I mean, the Fed is doing everything they can to spark inflation. I mean, they're desperate to come up with inflation. Powell is telling everybody that in every way he can. He's going to keep rates low, even if inflation picks up. Well, how does it benefit them to have lower precious metals prices? How does it benefit them to have a higher dollar? And it doesn't. And no, so you're right. Maybe
what
it is
about
a new...
Yeah, what about the 27.5 trillion in U.S.
Right.
debt? I mean,
how
the hell do you square that up?
Right.
You know, it makes sense to revalue the only asset you've got left.
Right. And maybe that's the direction. Maybe that's the underlying rationale, you know, for somebody backstopping a bank like JP Morgan with unlimited lines of credit like that. I don't know.
They are a primary dealer.
Yeah, and they are.
And they're acting on, we know, I mean, there's no secret. They're obviously an agent of the Fed.
Yep.
And You know, there was a time when silver was part of the Fed's arsenal. Sold it all.
It's a long time ago.
Now all of a sudden you've got nothing. And and really, I think the COMEX, this is a definite attempt to bring to revalidate the COMEX, but I think in a whole new form. I don't see a paper price being viable anymore. People want physical delivery. We've seen competing exchanges coming up. We see exchanges across the world coming up, T+0, T+1, you know, coming up. I mean, we're talking about the London market really fell apart, basically. And there was a fight to which market would survive. And I think the COMEX has turned into a physical market. It grates in my throat to even say that, because it's just completely alien to anything I've ever seen over all the years. But I see it, and I see, people, big bullion banks here. I see clients demanding physical gold and silver, for that matter, but gold, and we're talking about gold here. And so where do you get it?
You look
across
they got
the pond, and it's there. It is. You can't deny that it's there, because you've said it's there. It's on a sheet. It's registered. You can buy it. You can take delivery of it, and you can put it in a track plane. So that's all that's going to happen. So what does it matter if it's a couple of bucks above spot? Yeah. I mean, already there's a premium. I'm happy to pay the premium on the COMEX. Who cares? I mean, like, I'm getting the physical.
Like the old saw, Andy, why do you rob a bank? That's where the money is. You know, why do you go to the COMEX now? Because that's where the metal is. And it'll be very curious to see how many stand in October, because October of the six delivery months is, you know, often overlooked. You know, it usually has 10% of the open interest, 10% of the trading volume, because everything just goes from August to December. But here we're sitting on 62,000 contracts of October gold still with not even 2 weeks to go. And that's double, like I said, what we normally would see at this point. You know, as we go down to 3,000 or 4,000 contracts delivered in October, maybe we'll get 30,000 or 40,000. I mean, it's really, we're gonna have to stay on top of it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, the problem is, the only problems is the specs who get led by the nose to think that, you know, and then you put a couple of good planted, non-random people, you know, articles coming out, relayed by all the friendlies who say, oh my God, look, it's going to be down at 1700. It's going to be down at below that. You know, it's like, so people, what they do is they go, oh, maybe I should just get out of my positions. Or maybe, oh, I'll tell you what, why don't I wait and buy it when it comes down there? Well, but excuse me, it's not going there. It's just, that's the point. And I think, you know, but you essentially, but on the other hand, there's very little open interest to rinse on the downside here.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Andy, I've kept you a lot longer than I promised. Why don't we leave this here and then let's try to visit again before too long, because obviously there's a lot happening. You know, you've got an open platform anytime you want to talk here. And we're just going to have to keep an eye on it over the next couple of weeks and see where we go. Cause I'm with you. I see those same lines. Good to know there's massive wholesale bids down there. Maybe that should be our place to, you know, obviously keep an eye on, buy the dip, and maybe we can turn the tables on them here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, as I say, you know, I'm not, you know, as I say, I'd be very careful not that I'm not telling people what to do,
right?
In that respect. But what I'm saying is, these are the levels, and should it be those levels be tagged? I don't expect it to lay below those levels.
Yeah.
And for a close, I just don't see that. So basically, but also I would also encourage people, please, you know, don't be part of the problem. Don't be part of this. You know, if you're going to trade, you know, okay, watch your stocks, but make them very tight, but really don't be trading the paper markets.
Exactly.
It's you just become part of the fuel. that really causes the problem. And this is why every time we see a gap up, we think, oh God, you know, there's going to be a lot of speculators in there. It's going to be fluff. We can get them, they'll get rinsed out. Sure enough, mm-hmm. they get rinsed out. Why? Because they're playing on margin. So this is borrowed money and they haven't got it to lose. Whereas a physical buyer, stacker, these guys, you know, these are the guys that I know come to you and they are stacking up the physical metal. Do they care if it goes down a buck or two?
Right.
No. Yeah. In fact, if anything, they're saying, well, you know what? Perhaps those are the levels where I'll buy some physical if it goes down. If not, well, okay. I've got some, I'll get some more. But
yep.
And the other thing I would say is, you know, obviously I'm a director of Kinesis and I would strongly, strongly suggest there is, you could go on the Kinesis website, have a look and see we've now launched the minting process where you can become your own central bank. And I would actually look at, in fact, little old me has gone and put out some, I've actually been actually the person that's talking about it on a camera on how to do it. So with my Hawaiian shirt. So I hope you have a look.
Well, it is, you know, and that's another thing we've got to do sometime. Maybe we'll do that next time. We'll get Tom on as well because you guys have made so much progress there. And the thing is just growing and growing. And it's such a great asset in our fight here against this system. So maybe that's what we'll do next time, but we definitely need to keep in touch with so much going on.
Oh God, Craig, always first to know. And it's funny, every time I come on, we got something interesting.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you posted on this. I'll keep you posted because obviously this is big news and please do check, check your silver producers and see if they've done anything recently.
Yep.
If it isn't the case, fine. But I mean, you know, interesting because, and see what kind of premiums they got.
If they did, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my friend, thank you so much for your time. Keep doing what you're doing. And anytime you've got something you want to share, you let me know.
Okay. Thanks.
And everybody out there, thank you for listening. And we should have another Thursday conversation next week.